It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, Atmore Dragway, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed.
Get oh, yeah.
Put to Ed's Shed.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get stopped by there this weekend. I drove by, and we coming back from Pensacola, been out fishing, and I sure wanted to stop and eat. But
y'all went out from Pensacola?
Yeah, we went out from Pensacola.
I went out from Perdita Pass.
You did? Okay. Yep. Good.
And was sick before I left.
It was a rough time, no
Ooh,
doubt.
They said ones and twos. And when we didn't even clear the
that
pass.
That was the harbor.
Yeah, we didn't even clear the pass, and it was twos and fours.
I got a news flash.
Uh-oh.
Panini Pete, and I wouldn't have said this except that he broke the news on the Sunday Sip and Chew show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's opening another new restaurant downtown called Squid Ink.
Oh, yeah.
And Squid Ink is apparently used to provide some flavors for certain menu items.
Well,
I've never thought of eating or drinking it.
I hadn't heard that either.
Yeah,
and I hear they were also.
I thought that was some kind of damn tattoo shop.
Yeah, there you go. But I also hear that they were still hiring for a few positions, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I don't know about all that. I don't have to think about that one.
Restaurant number four, three, four, five, something like that.
Yeah, they're, well, there's a few. There's good. A few other irons in the fire.
Well, good people doing good work.
Oh, yeah, they're doing awesome work. Hey, you know what? They're really awesome people, and they treat their people right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, they have I went to Ed's here a week or so ago. Took some friends with me that had came down after my wife passed, and we went over there and had some seafood, and they were just really enthusiastic about the food on the one hand, and
great way to experience Alabama.
Yeah, and the graciousness of the host and the waiters and all. He said, "Man, you know, we don't get this kind of service in Memphis."
Yeah,
yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah,
and he still does the Master Chef thing too, doesn't he?
Yeah, the Mess Lords.
Mess Lords, yes. Yeah, where they go to the military stations all around the world.
Yep. Talking about that, they had I knew he was going to Guantanamo, and then we had that plane that ran off of the runway in Jacksonville here a couple of months ago.
Uh huh.
Well, that's where they have to go. They go from Mobile to over to Jacksonville, and they catch a flight out of there. I don't know where it's Navy or Air Force or something, but they catch a flight from there to Guantanamo.
Right.
So I sent him a text. I said, "I hope you wasn't on the plane when it run in the river." He said, "You know what? I was on the one that landed in front of that one."
Wow.
I said, "Well, you were blessed." He said, "Yeah, because I didn't take my bathing suit."
Yeah,
I'm guessing it's a Navy plane because Gitmo is a Navy base.
Probably, yeah. Well, they do have a few Marines there, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, somebody's got to guard the place.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't want me on the wall. What was that? Nut said in that show?
Yeah, that's right. You want me on that wall.
Right. You want me on that wall. You really don't want to know the truth.
So are we going to fix some cars or what?
I don't know. If we get around to it, I mean, come on, Charlie. I mean, are you pushing the button here or something or what?
Well, I don't know. I hadn't seen y'all in a week, so I figured we had catching up to do.
Well, I'll tell you what. You can't follow us.
No.
That's true.
No.
Yep. You in trouble if you're trying to follow a pair of us.
Is that like walking around in a circle?
That's, no, we must bounce off of the wall so bad you never know where we land at.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's see, I finally got Atmore's website up here, and this antiquated computer that we use here in the studio that takes a little while to get things moving.
But, well, the little hamster in the wheel is getting tired of turning.
Yeah, y'all got to give him a break once in a while, let him be rested up before I get here one time. But Atmore is actually on their midsummer schedule to where they're giving you a little bit of a break there, where they're just doing this Sunday cash, grudge cash Sunday. They're not doing the Saturday racing right now. This coming Sunday, the 30th, they have their Grudge Cast Sunday, open test and tune, gates open at 4, hot track at 5. It's just too hot to try and do a day event out there right this second. But I know it was definitely hot out there on the water this weekend.
Oh, yes, it was. My little face got burned.
Yeah, and I was I did too, and we were even overnight fishing, but it was still pretty toasty out there even until early in the morning. But did learn one thing while we was out there that you know, I've talked about my pet peeves of having the owner's manual in your car.
Right.
That applies to a boat as well.
Yeah. Man, there's no shops out there.
No.
And Cito is not a good yellow cab.
No. And it's an expensive cab, no doubt. But, yeah, we're out there, and it's 2:30 in the morning. We're all kind of half asleep and watching these lines float and doing some spear fishing, and which just you got to have a lot of patience for, you know. And then all of a sudden, all these alarms start going off, and things start getting a little exciting on the boat.
We
realize that it's got three engines on it. We only got one of them going just to be safe. We want one motor going at all times. And we notice that all these alarms start going off and everything starts shutting down. The radar shuts down. Everything else on the boat shutting down.
Uh-oh.
All the lights are shutting down.
That ain't cool.
And come to find out, the generator had shut off.
Mm-mm.
And the batteries that run the generator and the starboard engine are hooked together, and they run all the electronics on the boat. So it took about 2 minutes to run those batteries down with everything up, powered up.
Oh, my Lord.
And when we start trying to fire things back up, we can't get the boat to crank on that one engine. We
is
got the other two going.
Is that the time you locate all the life jackets?
No, the boat was still floating. I was good there. Okay. And we had two motors that were running, just no lights and no electronics. So we were going to be stuck there all night until it was dawn, and we could try and run in on the two motors. But I had to do some rigging and get a couple of batteries jumped to the other one and got that one fired up and figured out what was going on. Had to clean out the intake on the generator. And I made a comment to my brother, who's had this boat about 5 years now. And I said, there's got to be a way to where you can push a button, flip a switch, something, and join all these batteries together to crank up whatever you got
right.
to crank.
Right, yeah, I would think so.
And we looked, couldn't find nothing. Well, you know, I rigged up a way to make that happen. Got everything fired up. Well, they called me today. He said, you know, you said something about there got to be a switch somewhere. Well, there's one right there on the console that says emergency power. And it joins all four batteries together. Said, I called the guy that I bought the boat from, and he told me, why didn't you just hit the emergency power button? It's like, well, I didn't know there was an emergency power button. So keep your owner's manual.
Wait a minute, I got to ask this. Didn't that come with an owner's manual?
I'm sure it did, and it was nowhere to be found on the boat, I'm sure of.
Or you would have been reading it.
Yep, I'd have figured that out. But anyway, we're good. We got everything fired up and going again, cleaned out, and we were good to go. But it could have got interesting there if it
wasn't. Well, I'll tell you what, if I'm going to get broke down anywhere, and whether it's a boat or a car, I want the car doctor with me.
Amen, brother.
It worked out. We got a couple callers online. Caller, are you with us? Lou?
Yeah.
Hey.
It's Panini Pete. How you doing, guys?
Hey, Panini.
Hey, we got a question.
We were talking about you.
We were talking about the squid ink deal a while ago, and I told Charlie that I thought that had something to do with tattoos, and he said
you hear something about that giant squid they saw.
Yeah. Well, is that one of your pets?
Baby.
Is that one of your pets that got loose?
Yes, that's our mascot.
Your mascot. He didn't have his sign on, man.
So, I know.
So how close are you getting to open the new place?
We're looking like July 10th right now.
Wow.
And for all your car enthusiasts out there, you know, one of the things, you know, Antoine de Lamont Cadillac, who was the governor of French Louisiana.
I didn't know you knew Cajun stuff.
Yeah, well, he was here in Mobile when it was French Louisiana, and went on later to found Detroit, and was the namesake for the Cadillac. They named after him, and you know, we're going to weave in some cool history in this restaurant, to kind of little nods in the menu to our French and British and Spanish heritage. So we'll have some Cadillac cocktails and a few other good yummy things.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if there was a unique menu item we could come down and order that maybe we've never had.
There's quite a few. What am I not? The British, you know, they have Scotch eggs over there, which is a great dish with hard-boiled eggs wrapped in sausage meat, and it's served with a little chopped sauce. They're fried. So I've got squid eggs on the menu, and we're taking small quail eggs, hard-boiled, wrapping them in a sausage made of calamari and shrimp, like a seafood one, and then it's served with a squid ink aioli. It's going to be delicious.
I will be down to
burgers and po' boys and salads, sandwiches, and some normal stuff, all kinds of delicious stuff.
We will be down to partake of the new victuals.
Yeah.
Good. I'll make sure you're on the VIP list.
All right.
Where is the restaurant?
Bring you plus one.
Yep. Pete, where is the restaurant?
We're 102 Dolphin Street in the former Panini Pizza location. You know, I rebranded this booger, so instead of, you know, breakfast and lunch, we're going to be doing lunch and dinner with some cocktails and happy hour and, you know, a little late night on the weekend.
Yeah, no, Mobile downtown needs some more late night spots.
Especially on our end. You know, we're right there by the hotels and everything, and, you know, Pizzeria Delphine across the street and Haberdasher, and then most everything else is further on down yonder.
Right.
And we're gonna make people not have to walk so far.
There you go. Yeah.
And food.
We don't want to have to stagger too far back.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think about Jeeps? You know, I was just in Texas last week and had some wonderful checkups with my wife, but we rented a Jeep. And
awesome.
She is texting me pictures every day about Jeeps, man. You guys got good things to say about Jeeps or bad things to say about Jeeps?
Well, you know, it's a unique vehicle. They're a lot of fun to have. You know, I can't say anything real bad about them. You know, I've owned a couple over the years. Brother has one right now. We were just talking about it over the weekend, but they're good vehicles.
Is there any particular motor that you think he should be looking for if he does buy one?
Not really particular. That they've got several different power plants in these things. The little 3.7 is not a bad little motor. But I don't. I'm sure they've got some new stuff out since the last time I checked up on them. But it's. All the manufacturers are putting out some fairly decent vehicles now. There's not a lot of junk out there like there used to be. I'll be the first to admit.
We did have some junk.
There was some late 80s, early 90s stuff that there was some junk being built. There really was.
Yeah.
Pete, are you planning off-road stuff?
CJ7 with 286, and I beat that thing to death, and it beat me back twice as hard.
Those things were pretty much bulletproof. They were tough, no doubt.
I would agree.
Yeah. Good vehicles. A lot of fun, too. Unfortunately, you just don't get quite the places to go run them anymore like you used to, but there's still places around, though, that's for sure.
Well, come down and see us now. You won't be able to get any tattoos down there, Tom. I may make an exception for you, you old jarhead.
Thank you, Brother Pete. Appreciate you, and you have some awesome facilities here on the Gulf Coast.
Thank you for your support, guys. Take care.
All right. Good evening. Take care, buddy.
Appreciate you, bud. And we do have another caller online. If you will, hold on, and we're going to take a break and let our listeners hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back with you after these messages.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49. And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle. Along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call. 343-0106 or send us a text to that same number. We do have a caller online. We got Sharpie. You with us?
I am.
All right. What you got tonight?
Hey, guys. I have got a 4.3 liter GM engine in a boat. Since y'all started out on a boat, this is a car engine in a boat, so I got a question about it.
All right.
If you run the engine pretty hard and then shut it off, it wants to run on a good bit, kind of dieseling on. I've read that there's a problem in this engine like that. What can I do to try to reduce the run-on with it?
Well, you know, a couple things. I mean, have you put a timing light on it and made sure timing was set properly?
I have not put a timing light on it.
Yeah. Let's make sure the timing is set properly. You know, now on that particular motor in that application, I'm not exactly sure where the timing's going to be, but I would guess at idle it should be somewhere in the 6 to 8 degree range. Okay. Make sure it does not total out over probably 35 degrees. Being a marine application, make sure the weights on the distributor are pulling back in. You know, pull your cap off and make sure the advance weights are free. Because as you're running it and you're running it hard, those advance weights are slung out. If you come to a stop and if you shut it off before everything has time to just kind of work its way back in, the timing will still be way too far advanced. And it'll make it be idled up too high, plus it'll make it run on like that. Usually on a boat, you don't have any problem with carbon buildup, but it could be. When you get carbon buildup, it causes hot spots in the cylinders, and it just gives it an ignition source. Because as long as the motor's still turning and it can pull fuel in from a carburetor, if you got a hot spot in that cylinder, it'll go ahead and keep trying to run on. So you may want to get a borescope or something, look down in there, and see if you see any kind of carbon buildup in the cylinders. It wouldn't hurt to do a top engine clean to where you're pouring something through to clean all the cylinders up. Don't know how old the motor is or anything, but carbon buildup can be a problem for sure. And also make sure it's coming all the way back to idle. Make sure your idle's not set too high. That will cause it as well. And even a low octane fuel, poor fuel, will cause it as well. Are you running marine fuel in it, or are you running it on pump regular street car pump gas?
I'm running it on 93 pump gas just off the street.
Yeah, it should be okay, especially if you're running 93. If you were running 89, I would think it could be 87, 89. It could be an issue, but that should be okay, especially if you're keeping it flush through and using it on a regular basis. You know, the boats don't like regular ethanol fuel because it will pull moisture in pretty quick. But right. as long as you're still running it on a regular basis, just don't let it sit up with it, because it will cause you some issues.
All right, I'll pull the distributor to put weights on it, and I'll get the timing checked on it as well, and take it from there and see what it'll do.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thank you guys.
Appreciate you listening in.
All right.
But yeah, and that kind of goes for any car, boat, whatever. It's the same principles.
Well, I was wondering if you were going to tell it. Well, you did tell him to run some top end cleaner through it,
right?
But I realize that you guys have a special brand at the GM dealers.
Well, we have the GM stuff, which is and they call it top engine clean. But we also use a BG chemical as well.
Okay, I was wondering if y'all still using BG.
And BG does a good job on that stuff, and you can get it in some of the auto parts stores and that. Just have to be careful how you feed it in there. You don't want to just pour it in. You want to feed it in there in a metered amount. You can do it by hand. It's better to have a tool to do it with, but you can do it by hand, and it will do the same thing. You just got to be careful not to pour it in too fast.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
What about just putting some top-end cleaner in the fuel when you wouldn't add fuel?
It doesn't hurt to do that. It does keep the carburetor clean and keeps, back of the valves clean and that. It does help for sure. But it really – it would take quite a bit of it to run through there to actually clean the cylinder itself, and I don't know. I didn't ask him what year. It's probably carbureted. The fuel-injected motors help stop a lot of this, run-on problems, because not only do they kill the ignition source when you shut it off, you've also killed the fuel source as well. So there's nothing else continuing to feed the motor with fuel like a carburetor. It doesn't know whether it's running or not. All it knows is that it's got a piston going down and it's going to move air,
mm-hmm.
and it'll put fuel in with that air as it goes in. So carburetors are a little more problematic.
So undoubtedly, from what he was saying, and that the fact that it was a car motor that he had that somebody had put in the boat, it probably was a carbureted motor.
Well, and you know, they run that motor in a lot of boats. I know Merck Crews used that motor for quite a while.
Yeah, we built a bunch of those,
and it was basically just a car motor that they stuck in a boat. But it's you know, it had some minor changes, but they were you know, it's a fairly basic, very durable combination.
Oh, it is, yeah.
They do well, make good power for a boat. I've worked on several myself over the years. Had a couple of built a 434 in the boats, and makes a nice little combination. I mean, it does. So, but you know, they're everything you do nowadays. Pretty much everything is an outboard anymore. It's hard to find an inboard that's not a big boat with a big diesel.
I didn't realize how much fuel the outboards burn.
Oh yeah.
You know, with the boats, the boat I was on was 25 footer with the catamaran with a couple of 150s Yamahas, and we burned a bunch of fuel.
Yeah.
But we were running about, you know, 40 something miles an hour too with that catamaran.
Well, yeah, there's you can burn some fuel through those things. Ooh, yeah. I know my brothers has got 350s on the back of it, and we weren't running hard.
350s.
Yeah.
No, 300.
350 horse Mercurys on the back. Three of them.
Three of them?
Yeah.
That thing run 100 miles an hour then.
No, it's a heavy boat, but it will run about 50-ish. Ooh. You know, but it's a 35-foot.
I wouldn't want to feed those things, 350s.
And it's you're going to burn I think we went. I know we killed one tank, and there are two 200 gallon tanks on there.
Oh, how many nautical miles to a gallon?
I don't think they figured in miles. I think it's more like gallons per nautical mile,
right,
almost. You know, it's a they're because we only went 50 miles out and 50 or about 60 miles out and 60 miles back.
Woo.
So it. And we went through at least 200 and something gallons. So, yeah.
We burned about 60.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be back after these messages. We're going to let you hear from our fine sponsors. And we'll be back with the Car Doctor Show.
Give us a call.
Life is older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106, or send us a text to that same number, 343-0106. Let's see. Speaking of text, we have Dave from Gulf Shores. Kevin, I thought the GDI, which is the direct injected in my 2017 Honda Fit, had more valve carbon buildup issues than port injection. And that is true, because with your direct injected motors, the injector tip actually goes directly in the combustion chamber. So it's inside the cylinder, and it's putting the fuel directly is spraying it almost directly at the plug. So whereas a port fuel injected motor, it's an injector in the head or intake, more than likely the intake, and it is aimed at the back of the intake valve. Okay, so what you have there is you always have a little bit of fuel going by the back of the valve, helping wash off the contaminants off the back of the intake valve. With a direct injected motor, you have nothing but the air and the blow-by that is being pulled back into the motor to be reburnt going by the valve. So there's nothing ever there to clean the back of the valve. And you can get some pretty bad buildup on these things. I know there's a lot of the companies that were having issues, BMW being one of them, with their V8 motors and their direct injected stuff. And at lower miles, they were having to pull the heads off of some of their cars to clean that stuff out at 40, 50,000 miles. Mm. You know? But that was also part of a result of they reversed the flow of the motor. With most motors out there, the intake system is in the center of the motor where we call a valley between the heads, and the exhaust is on the outside. Well, on those motors, your exhaust system was in the valley and the turbos and all in the valley in the middle of the motor between the heads, and the intake system was on the outside of the motor where the exhaust manifolds normally are. Yeah. Not a bad way to do it, except for buildup issues, because that's kind of a low point and it was causing some problems. But you know, it's great for making a small package, you know, a big motor into a small package. You don't have to hang turbos off the side of it, right, and everything. Right, the turbos okay. are down inside the valley. Works well. Diesels have been doing that for years where the turbos down in the middle, but they still have the intake in the center and exhaust on the outside. But they found that that valley was a good place to put the turbo.
Well, most people wouldn't realize that the intake valve would suck back that exhaust into that intake port, mm-hmm. and you know, not realizing that cams don't have a zero overlap.
Right.
They. I mean, in other words, when the valve is opening on the exhaust, the intake valve is still open a little bit.
Yeah.
So when all of that firing occurs, then it still blows back by a little bit, back by that valve.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a vehicle just will run right at a zero overlap on a cam.
Yeah.
Where you're probably, 4 to 6, 7, 8 degrees overlap idle it out?
Like a stock motor, there's not a whole lot of overlap, but there is some there. You still get that. Basically, mm-hmm. backwash where it blows
blows
that out
in there,
and they do it to help keep the exhaust moving out through the motor. But if you have a sure enough hot rod motor, that's why when you hear like a race motor at idle, it's real lopey and rough idle and just sounds. Doesn't sound smooth. You hear it is sitting there hitting hard and it's running rough and it shakes the car and all this. Well, it does that because it needs that overlap at higher RPM to make that motor work right. And it's all about a motor is nothing big but a big air pump, and it's mm-hmm. all about moving the air through it.
Right.
And you know, if it can actually help use the intake to help the exhaust go on through, then it's just right. a good thing for it. It makes good power.
And therefore, yeah. that's why we do get a collection on the back of the intake mm-hmm. valve of exhaust.
Right.
A residue there that looks like exhaust.
Yeah. And, you know, and you also have – there's always going to be a little bit of crankcase pressure.
Right.
And they've actually started pulling vacuum on the crankcases of these newer motors. Helps with oil leaks. It helps with sealing rings. It helps with a lot of things. Makes more power.
It's like the old PCV valve?
What would be a PCV valve, which is the positive crankcase ventilation system, they're using the same thing, and they're using more vacuum on the motor, and they're sealing up the motor where you used to have a vent or filter, crankcase filter, and all that on the motor. You don't have that anymore. The motor's sealed up tight, and it's got a vacuum pulled on it. Well, even if you pull a dipstick out of a new motor, a little bit, if you notice it's got O-rings on it, it's sealed into the dipstick tube. So if you pull it out and you don't push it back in good before you get done checking your oil, you go crank it up and you're probably going to get a check engine light because it's going to be lean because it's pulling air in the motor. They're doing some wild stuff, you know. It works. Yeah. I mean, it does work, but you know, you do have that crankcase vents burned
all
again.
That goes back to now we're putting 400,000 miles on a car,
mm-hmm.
and with proper maintenance, the darn thing still acts well, runs well, gets good gas mileage, doesn't burn a lot of oil.
Right.
And 30 years ago, if you got 100,000 miles off of one, 150, man, that was something. You know, you've done great.
Yeah, you're doing good.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing how much power we're getting out of these small packages, you know, that we're putting out there now. We have a truck out. It's got a 2.7 liter four-cylinder turbo in a full-size four-door Chevrolet half-ton truck. And that motor makes 300 and I think 5 or 10 horsepower. It's one
what?
Of the two.
300 horsepower?
Yep. It's over 300 horsepower. And it was over 300 foot-pounds of torque. So, you know,
but
it's sporty.
It is.
I mean, it's a good running truck.
I drove a four-cylinder Mustang. Mm-hmm. It was a newer model here like 2 years ago out to Texas and back. And without looking under the hood, I thought I had a V8 in there.
Mm-hmm.
And all it was a little four-cylinder with a turbo.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that thing would mortally fly.
It's, they can make it.
And it got decent gas mileage.
My wife's Equinox, she drives the 2018 Equinox, has the 1.5 liter four-cylinder turbo. It will do anything you want it to do. You know,
1.5.
There was four of us in the vehicle and loaded down with luggage and everything. Car averaged 38 miles to the gallon.
Woo!
And it's nothing for it to run 85, 90 mile an hour on the interstate.
Well, with your foot.
Yeah.
Run 70.
Yeah. I mean, I tried to keep it around 80.
No, you know,
give or take. Because it started dropping a little
15,
bit.
20 miles an hour.
Never know who might be listening.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Well, you know.
Now, you got to get caught first, Charlie.
That's right. Only one I'm worried about is my wife.
I see blue lights out in the parking lot now.
That's okay. You know, it might be for some other reason.
That's right.
True.
Only one I'm worried about is my wife, and she listens, and she was with me, so she knows how fast I drive.
There you go.
So that's okay,
too. There you go. She tolerates you.
That's right.
Not that she puts up with it. She tolerates you.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, it's really impressive what they'll do now. Well, the Silverado 1500 that I'm driving with, the 5.3, drove it to Pensacola this weekend, averaged 20.6 miles a gallon running, you know, doing the stop and go on the interstate between here and Pensacola that you typically do and running 80 at times. And, you know, it's, average right at 20, a little over 20 miles a gallon.
That's awesome.
And we'll do more than that if you drive it.
Oh, yeah. If you come back, well, it's like my car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I want to run a 75 or 80 on it in my town car, I'm going to get, 22.5 with it.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what's funny, though? If I set it, the other day on 70 with cruise, and I went to Pensacola with it, and I got like 20 miles per gallon. I got 2 miles per gallon less on cruise than I did with my foot.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going like, running harder. You know? But I don't know what it sweats and all, but it works that way.
Well, and all cars have a sweet spot, you know, that it just likes to run in, you know. And, you know, sometimes that may be 75.
Yeah.
You know, rather than 70, you know. Just it's all about the gearing and the way everything settles out. Every combination is a little bit different, but it's really impressive what they do with the little motors now. There's still some we still got some big, you know, V8 hot rod stuff running around.
Unbelievable motors we have in some of these vehicles now.
Well, I mean, we have the 6.2 in some of our trucks that's over 400 horsepower. And that's a normally aspirated 6.2 liter in the half ton and three quarter or half ton trucks. They're coming out with a 6.6 liter gas burner for the three quarter ton trucks here shortly. And it's supposed to be a pretty hot little setup for sure. But they got some neat stuff coming. We still got our 3 liter inline six diesel coming. That should be released here shortly. So it's a new motor combination for our half ton stuff. And, all the power plants have just been really impressive. We've got everything from a few 6-speed transmissions through the 8-speed and some 10 speeds in the higher up stuff. So they've got some really neat combinations, and I've been pleasantly impressed with the 19 trucks. You know, they have been doing very well, running very well, good fuel mileage, very little trouble out of them, even though it's all new electronics, all new drivetrain. You know, we still have some of our basic drivetrain that we've run for a few years, but a lot of the drive, you know, motor transmission rear end combinations are new. A lot of suspension stuff's new. They ride better. They're quieter, and the old ones were quiet. So it's a really nice truck. I mean, I'm really impressed with it. But looks like we're coming up a little bit close to our break here. But you know, we've got we do have quite a selection out at UJ. If you want to come out and take a look, see what we've got. We've got a few 18s. We've got a few 19s that are the old body style truck. They were still building some. We got some of those. So it's a 19 model truck, but it is the 18. It's a classic. It's 18 body style. But we've got a lot of the cars and stuff out there as well, and SUVs.
Awesome. So, that is great. UJ Chevrolet.
Yep. We're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors. We'll be back.
Send you all of his love from Frisco Bay. I didn't understand till I was grown why my daddy didn't spend a little time at home instead of running around the country that away. Whoa, I'm looking at the world through a windshield, and I see everything in a little bit different light. I got a sweet little thing I'm a-wantin' to see in Nashville, and I'm down around Dallas and roll on south tonight.
The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text to 343-0106.
Time is running out.
Yeah, we do have a caller online. Charlie, if you can catch that, we'll see what the caller has. Caller, are you with us?
Hey, yeah.
Hey, what can we do for you?
Got a question about an engine noise.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I've got a 2010 Ford F-150 with about 210,000 miles on it, and it's developed a ticking sound. It's not a belt or pulley or anything. Just wondering if this is a valve, a lifter, or what it could be and what to do about it.
When you say a ticking noise, is it, you know, change with engine RPMs and that, or?
It changes a little bit when the engine gets warmed up. It's not quite as noticeable, but.
You know, one thing that, and I would have to have someone check it, see, but one thing that those Fords were kind of notorious for is breaking exhaust bolts. What you may have is an exhaust leak that's louder when it's cold, and as the exhaust manifold heats up, it seals up a little bit. So you probably need to get that, get someone to listen to it to tell you whether it's a motor noise or an exhaust noise. They can sound very similar, you know, on a motor like that. If you told me it got worse as it got hot, I would lean more towards a valve train or something along those lines.
Yeah,
but I'd be almost willing to bet you that you've got a an exhaust noise.
Okay, all right.
But I tell you, having good friends of ours at McDonald Muffler, been doing it for 100 years. They do good work at a reasonable price. They're down there on Highway 90 across from where Burger King and Sonic is, right there near Azalea Road. If you want to go by there, I'm sure they shoot you straight and tell you what's going on with it. And give you a price to fix it if they need to.
All right, great. Thanks, guys.
All right, I appreciate you calling in. But, yeah, that's something I have seen on that particular modular motor. They do have some issues with breaking exhaust bolts off.
Oh, okay.
There you go. So that's probably experience. What's going on.
They call that experience.
Run across it a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I run across an outfit today to just we have another caller.
Looks like we do. A couple more callers.
All right, go ahead.
Caller, you with us?
Yes, good evening, Kevin, Thomas.
Hey,
Charlie. Say, this is Thomas out here in Theodore.
Hey, Thomas.
My 97 Jeep Cherokee, the rear hatch, we can't get it open. The window will go up and down,
Yeah.
But I can't get the hatch open from the outside. Is there any trick of getting that open without tearing apart the inside?
No, there's really not. And they're all different. You have to get that panel off the inside to get to the mechanism to try and release it.
I've got a directional light out.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, there's not any tricks to it. I assume that's, it doesn't open electronically or manually, from the...
Well, I sure appreciate it. I guess I'll just buy a set of flags or something. There you go. Because I ain't tearing that thing apart. I can't see it. Put it back together anyhow.
I understand.
Thanks a lot.
I
appreciate you.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Thomas.
Thanks.
You have to learn the hand signals thing again. But
yeah, go back to old days.
Yeah. Let's see. We got another caller online. Caller, you with us?
Yes, sir.
All right. What we can do for you?
I was going to ask you about when it's necessary to rotate your tires. Mm-hmm. Do you need to always rotate them on where they'll be turning in the same direction that they've been turning?
Not necessarily. They can be cross rotated. Not a problem. Early on, and when they were doing radial tires, that was an issue. But it doesn't seem to be an issue anymore. We don't have near the tire separation issues that we used to have. We see one every once in a while, but. It's usually because a tire has been patched or it had something puncturing and let moisture get in where the steel belts were, and they start rusting. Then when they rust, they break, and it's just kind of deteriorates from inside. It usually has nothing to do with which way it was rotating on the vehicle, depending on what kind of vehicle you have and which tire setup. Some of them can't be rotated front to rear. Some of them have to be side to side. And even if you're going to do that, you got to turn them around on the wheels. And I mean, it's okay. You can do any combination of the above. Most of what we do is straight front to back. As far as a cross rotation, I have no problem with that whatsoever.
I just wondered. I've been wondering about it for quite a long time. I've always heard that it's necessary to always have them turning in the same direction that they were turning in before you rotated them.
Yeah, yeah, and that used to be the case, but like I say, they've gotten way better with their manufacturing of the tires, so not a big problem anymore. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right, I appreciate you calling in.
Hey, Kevin, it's a little different issue if the back tires are a different size than the front.
Yeah, and that's...
When you have to do side-to-side.
Right, and our Corvette and some of the Camaros, and there's some other vehicles around that have that combination of tire and wheel package that has a different size on the rear than it is the front. So
do you take the tire off the rims and reverse them, or
can. That's an awful lot of work, and usually when you get into those kind of tires, they're not going to last a long time anyway. They're a very soft, aggressive tire that's going to wear out in a fairly quick manner. So at that point, it's really not worth it, because really the rotation will stop some of the wearing of the outside edges. But if you're going just side to side on the front, you're really just trading places with the same deal. So you're still going to wear the outside edges of the tires. Yes, it's rolling in different directions, so it may help with some feathered wear, but the big benefits of rotating them really aren't there that you get from going front to rear. But it's just not a big deal anymore as far as which direction it was turning. But I know, Tom, I think you had something you wanted to talk about.
We only have a couple of minutes left here, but I had occasion to watch a tree cutting service today in my backyard and over next door. And these guys are doing an unbelievable job. They also have the equipment to remove the stumps and get the stumps out so that you can level your yard out. But if you need this phone number, it's Tree Beaver Tree Service. It's 367-4613. The gentleman's name is Grady. And they do tree removal and the firewood, the limb cutting, stump grinding, and they'll even clear lots and stuff of that nature. But have an unbelievable crew. They removed about five trees in the yard today next door to me, and then cut some. I'm talking about they cut limbs on some of those old oak trees at my in my yard and his in that guy's yard.
Yeah.
That are bigger than you know most people's trees.
I know.
I mean, you'd have trouble reaching around them.
Yeah.
And they're just a limb.
But,
yeah, but they're 367-4613 Tree Beaver Tree Service. Do an awesome job. I'd highly recommend it. All these guys that worked for him did an excellent job. They were all clean-cut guys, and no problem with them.
Yeah. I tell you, it's good to have someone that knows what they're doing when they're doing that kind of stuff.
Well,
like,
yeah,
say you're cutting a limb out, and it's the size of a tree.
I know.
It can land on your house.
Well, I saw, you know, some of the trees, but they had them tied off where they cut them in pieces, and they took down a whole magnolia tree.
Yeah.
You know, they were blessed. The guy that owned the tree was blessed because after they started cutting it down, they found out the whole core of it was rotten.
Yeah.
And it could, you know, a good storm would have put it in his house.
Right.
So, you know, he was blessed to get it cut at this time. 367-4613 Tree Beaver.
Yep. I tell you, it's you'd be surprised how often that happens. You go cutting one down and the whole inside of it be hollow because it's rotten.
It's rotten, and that's the thing. I was glad that they cut some of the limbs off of that guy's trees hanging over my house, too.
Yep.
So now I don't have any tree limbs over my house, so that's cool.
Because even though it's his tree, it's yours when it's hanging over your fence line.
And the only way I can get him to pay for it is if it's in my house, in my bedroom. You know,
right.
I don't need that.
No.
And to all of our vets out there, a big hoorah.
I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. We will be back next week. And see you then.
Fight on bush tape.
Straightening the curve. Yeah. Flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get up, but the law never will.